name is Maggie Shoemake, and I'm going to do the scripture reading for today. We're going to read Psalm 20, which is page 561 in the Children's Bible. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May he remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offering acceptable. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. We will sing for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some boast of chariots and some of horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord, our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. Save, O Lord, may the King answer us in the day we call. This is the word of the Lord.
We've had two Sundays in a row of recognizing and celebrating our spring graduates, our high school graduates this Sunday and our college graduates last Sunday. It's fitting to mark these moments together as a church family. It's fitting to celebrate. It's fitting to be thankful and to be glad, but it's also fitting to feel a bit sad in such moments. You're allowed to feel a bit sad today. There is a certain bittersweetness to each and every graduate Sunday, because for these students and for those who love them, a chapter really is closing. A season of life really is ending. You sense that things are changing, and you know that there's no going back to the way things were before. Parents, you know this. You feel it as a child graduates. A threshold has been crossed, and there is no turning the clock back again. Those days with their joys and their pains are done forever. The clock has mostly run out on cultivating and shaping and rearing your child. The days of shepherding their heart in the way they should go are mostly in the rearview mirror. I saw a stat recently that said by the time your child graduates high school, you have already spent together 90% of the time that you will ever have with them in this life. In this life being a very important qualifier, I'll say, if this life is all there is, then 90% of the time with your kids is done by the time they graduate high school. But if this life isn't all there is, then all the time you've spent with your kids thus far isn't even the tiniest fraction of 1% of the time you shall have with them. A shared hope in the resurrection means that the most time and the best time is still to come. And yet, there is still no going back to the way things were before. There's no going back to those childhood and teenage days. That part of the story is done. That tale is told and finished forever. There's no going back to life before graduation. Realizing that, I've got a question for you. As parents, how do we send our kids off into the next stage of life? As graduates, how do you go off into the next chapter of your life story? I think Psalm 20 gets to the heart of how we go about doing that and doing it well. For some of our graduates, this may be the last time I look out from here and I see your face. As I reflected on that possibility, I started thinking about how to send you off from here into the next chapter. And Psalm 20 felt like a perfect expression of my heart for you. This psalm feels like a divinely inspired expression of all my hopes for all of you graduates. This psalm beautifully expresses a shepherd's heart. It's David's psalm. A shepherd's heart, not just for those going out into the next season of life and those sending them on, but also for those who are in their final season. You may be someone watching via the live stream today, and it feels like you're in the last chapter of your life story. This psalm is also for you. Because what we need most in life's first chapters, we need still when we come to life's final chapter. Psalm 20 expresses those needs so beautifully. This psalm expresses them beautifully because it begins with a benediction. Here's the first of our three headings, if you're taking notes. A benediction to bless. A benediction to bless. We see a string of benediction-like blessings in verses 1 through 4. And then again, at the end of verse 5, whether you're stepping out into a new chapter of life or approaching the end of life's final chapter, hear these blessings spoken over you. This benediction is for you. Verse 1, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support from Zion. May he remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offerings acceptable. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. If you're graduating and leaving us, I'd struggle to find a better benediction to send you off with than these verses. If you're on the verge of graduating and leaving this life as someone who's sick or homebound, watching over the live stream right now, I'd struggle to find a better benediction to pray over you than this one. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. In each season of life, our troubles may look very different. High school graduates, you may be stepping into a season now where your faith is going to be challenged and tested like never before. May the Lord answer you in your day of trouble. College graduates, you may be stepping into a job market now that is full of uncertainty. And perhaps much discouragement lies ahead. May the Lord answer you in your day of trouble. Parents, you may be facing the pain of an empty nest today and heartache of letting go. May the Lord answer you in your day of trouble. There'll be joy in it also, but may the Lord answer you. Older adults, you may be caring for parents at the end of life or facing end-of-life issues yourself. May the Lord answer you in your day of trouble. Every season will have its own trouble, but in the Lord we find the answer we need for the trouble of every season. Graduates, take it from me. There are answers. In the Lord, there are answers to every trouble, to every objection, to every stumbling block that the world can throw at you. You're never going to encounter an objection, a question, a temptation, a trouble that another Christian has not encountered before and found help and the answer in the Lord. Never be so foolish as to think there are no answers to the troubles assailing you in the next season. Never be so foolish as to think that the Lord doesn't have an answer just because no voice spoke from the sky in your day of trouble. The Lord does speak, and he has already spoken in a word that you can pick up and read anytime. Graduates, may you pick up those Bibles you were given today and take into your heart God's answers to all of life's ultimate questions. God speaks to us through his word, and he speaks to us through his people applying his word. Listen to me, graduates. I'm giving you my permission. In your day of trouble, you can call me. If you find yourself in a crisis of faith, you can reach out to me. You can reach out to Pastor Jared. Part of the way the Lord answers in the day of trouble is through his people, is through the shepherds he has provided to his flock. Wherever you go from here, you need to be part of a flock with good shepherds. You need to be active and faithful in a local church. Because the local people of God, living under the word of God, is always intended to be our first line of defense in the day of trouble. That said, you can also call me. You can always come back and find help here. May the Lord answer you in your day of trouble. And may he be pleased to use the relationships that we have forged here together to be part of that answer. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. Trouble will come in every season. Days of trouble will come, but we are not on our own. Nor are we our own. By faith, we've received a new identity. Our identity is now bound to Christ. Our identity is bound to God's name, to God's reputation. Bound to the one who is the rock, our feet will be set securely on high. God will see to it that we have a place to stand above the fray. And if driven into an ocean of trouble, he will see to it that the seas only rise to our neck and no higher. He will give you a firm place to stand and won't let you drown. As you enter that hostile environment in your first workplace or the next level of school, may the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. Look at verse 2. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. This is my prayer for you as well. May you know from where your help comes. God sends help and support from his sanctuary. God's people from the past and his church in the present are here as a help. You don't stand alone. Like a great cloud of witnesses, we are cheering you on, graduates. The sum total of the word you've heard in this sanctuary also goes with you from here. All the hours we've spent together right here worshiping the King and loving one another also go with you. May you know the support you have here in this sanctuary as you go out into the world. May you also remember the service you've offered here. Look at verse 3. May he remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offering acceptable. As Christians, we don't trust in our works. We trust in Christ's work. We don't put our faith in our sacrifices. We put our whole faith in Christ's sacrifice for us. We're accepted because on a cross, Jesus was rejected. His atonement purchased our acceptance. In an overflow of our gratitude for Christ's sacrifice and for God's acceptance of us in him, we now gladly offer ourselves. We serve because he first served us. We love because he first loved us. For some of you, graduates, this is the first church you ever served. Remember this time with gratitude. We certainly will remember it with gratitude. More importantly, the Lord sees and remembers your service here. For some of you watching right now over the live stream, you've poured out your life for years serving the Lord at Alberta Baptist Church. We remember it. We remember you. But even if everyone here were to forget, the Lord remembers still. He remembers and accepts your service to Christ in his church. The Lord knows just how much you want to be here again with us, pouring out yourself as an offering still. May the Lord look with pleasure upon all your service and offerings and sacrifices for his kingdom. May they all be counted acceptable because you have found your acceptance in Christ and his sacrifice, which also makes this blessing possible. Verse 4, may he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. In Christ, we are new creations. We are new creatures, complete with new desires and new values and new ways of thinking. This doesn't happen all at once. We are all lifelong renovation projects, really. We are all in the process of having our hearts rewired. We are all in the process of having our faulty foundations demoed and all the old junk thrown out. This internal renovation work is never completed in this life, but enough change can happen. Enough redemption can take root that we can pray verse 4 and really mean it. May the Lord grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. For most people, it would not be good for them to be granted their heart's desires. It would not be good for them for all their counsel to be fulfilled. And truth be told, some of our heart's desires and counsels are probably still in that category. They're junk we need to discard. They're faulty wiring that we need to throw out. But when we make the Lord our supreme delight, do you know what happens? The actual desires of our heart begin to change. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This isn't a way to use God to get the things your hearts really want. That's not what the verse is about. This verse is a way to change your heart into desiring the things God really wants. When you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you new desires. He will literally give you the desires of your heart. He will place them there. The desires of your heart will change to do what he desires for you to do. When you put God as the supreme good first in your heart, all the lesser goods find their proper place. Put the Son at the center, and all the lesser heavenly bodies naturally find their proper orbit. There is no better blessing that I could wish for you than this, that your heart may be so completely conformed to God's heart that your every desire is granted and your every counsel fulfilled, because they're all real reflections of God's will and God's heart. That blessing is coming, by the way. A glorious day is coming when our faith will become sight, when our sin nature will be completely eradicated, and we can do all that's in our heart because all that is in our heart is good. That day is coming. Good things will run wild in that day. For some of you participating from home on this church-wide communion Sunday, this might be the very last communion you experience before you experience that glorious day, before you experience that glorious and complete change, that glorious final victory. And we know who, and we who know you, sorry, we who know you and knew you, knew your faith in Christ, will respond this way on that day of your final victory. We'll respond like verse 5. Verse 5 says, "We will sing for joy over your victory. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners." We've seen a benediction to bless. Let's see, secondly, a boast to humble. A boast to humble. We've just read verse 5 again. Skip down a verse and look again at verse 7. "Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God." If you only could quote one verse from Psalm 20 before today, it was probably verse 7. "Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God." Both verse 5 and verse 7 put forward the same boast. In both verses, the boast involves taking our eyes off ourselves and placing them firmly upon the Lord. The victory banner in verse 5 isn't a banner with your name on it. The victory in verse 7 doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to those with the best chariots or those with the best horses. Real victory today doesn't belong to those with the best education or those who have the most influence or to those who are really good at what they do. The real victory belongs to those whose God is really there, whose God is real. If the real God is really for you, who can stand against you? Your whole college psychology class may mock God and mock you for believing in him. But remember this, when it feels like you stand all alone, a lone individual plus God is still a majority. Your entire workplace may ostracize you for your faith. But remember, no amount of hate from coworkers is able to separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. You have the winning hand in every circumstance when you live under the Lord's banner. But you have it by grace. Victory comes by God's grace alone, not your abilities or your skills or your cleverness or strength or your chariots or horses. Therefore, our boast is a humble one. It's a boast that's meant to humble us just as much as it exalts us. We get both. We get to experience the sweet exaltation of victory, but we also recognize that this victory does not come from us. It does not come from within. Quite the opposite. This victory comes in spite of us. In spite of us very often doing our best to mess things up, God still manages to turn it all around for our good and for his glory. Here's the thing I want you to know as you go from here, graduates. You may come from a good family, but that's not your boast. You may have gotten a top-rate education, but that's not your boast. You may have the vigor and health and attractiveness of youth, but that is not your boast. You may have the abilities and skills that will bring you a big paycheck, but that's not your boast. Nothing you have will bring you real victory in life, but nevertheless, you are offered a victory that we will sing for joy over if you go from here making the cross of Christ your only boast. If the cross is your boast, you cannot be defeated in life. G.K. Chesterton famously said, "The cross cannot be defeated, for it is defeat." The cross is the only boast that makes you humble by giving you real victory over the world. The Apostle Paul pointed to this truth. He said, "May it never be that I would boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Here is the way to victory over the world. It's the cross. It's boasting only in the cross. This is the only boast that makes us humble, because it's the only boast that can also make us humble and make us sing at the same time. It's a boast that makes us sing for joy. This boast humbles us because it is the sum total of our sin we see that sent Christ to the cross. He takes what our lives merit, but in return, he gives back to us a victory beyond our wildest dreams. The cross is a boast that's meant to always keep us humble, but it's also meant to make us always bold. That's the third and final thing I want you to see in Psalm 20. We've seen a benediction to bless, verses 1 through 4, a boast to humble, verses 5 and 7. Let's finish up by seeing a boldness to save, verse 6 and verses 8 and 9. Looking into verse 6. "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand." Verse 8. "They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. Save, O Lord. May the King answer us in the day we call." When our boast is in the Lord, when our boast is in Christ's cross, then there is a certain humble boldness we gain in life. Where others bow down and fall, where others cave in and quit, we boldly rise. We boldly stand upright. We come boldly to God's throne of grace, knowing that we will find help. We will find mercy to meet our every pressing need. Through faith, we can come boldly with our petitions directly to the throne of creation's King. We can say truthfully, "I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve an audience with the King. I don't deserve salvation, but Christ said I could come. Jesus bought me a place at his table. Jesus taught me to call heaven's King Abba, Father. Jesus assured me that I could come boldly to heaven's throne. He said to all who would believe in his name, he is given the right to become children of God. Because of Jesus, I am an adopted child of the King. You are now part of heaven's royal family. We are heirs of the new creation. None of these things have I earned, which is immensely humbling. But all these things I have been freely given, which is immensely exalting. Through faith in Christ and believing in the new identity he's bestowed upon us, we inherit a boldness to bring our petitions before the very throne of God. A boldness that rises and stands with face uplifted and says to the King, verse 9, "Save, O Lord. May the King answer us in the day we call." And we know from verse 6 that the Lord will answer and that the King will save. When we read this psalm of David standing on this side of the cross of Christ, Psalm 20's promise of salvation is made all the more sure. Jesus makes these promises all the more certain. Christ is the ultimate assurance that Psalm 20's benediction will come to pass over us. Christ is the ultimate boast that Psalm 20 is pointing to. Christ is the ultimate cause for boldness in believing that the King will indeed save us in the day we call upon him. For those just now stepping out into a new chapter of life, Christ should cause you to have a different kind of spring in your step than others do. Typically, those who tackle life with boldness have a boast that's rooted in themselves, in their own strength and abilities. But that's not you. That's not who you are to be, Christian, graduate. Yours is a humble boldness, a boldness in life that's rooted in Christ, and therefore produces the fruit of humility, not pride. You look odd to your peers, for sure. You look odd to your peers because for you, boldness comes without pride. Blessings come free without merit. Your primary boast points away from your own performance. Your life will look odd to others, but it's also a life that looks oddly attractive to others. And when you live this life, when you live it this way to the end, when you live by faith to the end of your days, then you'll have no wish to go back to the parts of the story that are done, because you know the best is yet to come. Let me bring things to a close this morning with a bit of a story. One of you let me borrow a beautiful copy of The Golden Key by George MacDonald, which I read this past week. The Golden Key is largely the story of a boy and a girl on a journey together to find the land from which the shadows fall. There are shadows of beautiful things falling upon this world that they inhabit. And in journeying to find the country from whence the shadows fall, the boy and girl grow old together. They get separated for a time, for a long time, for years. But in the end, they meet again at the foot of a rainbow, and the golden key opens the door to a stairway up to the land from whence the shadows fall. MacDonald says that as they ascended the stairs to the better land above, they were now old men and women. But the strange thing was that the older they grew, the younger they grew. And at the same time, the stronger and the wiser and the more beautiful. Church, we live in the shadowlands now. Here about us fall the shadows of our real country. Here we catch but small glimpses of our real home. This shadowy part of the story will end. For some of us, very soon. For some of us, it will take a little bit longer. But for all of us, it will end. We can't go back. We can't rewind the clock to the days before graduation or the days of our children growing up. We can't go back, but we can look ahead. We can look ahead to that land where the older we grow, the younger we grow, and at the same time, the stronger and wiser and more beautiful. We can close a chapter here today knowing that the very best of our story together is still yet to come. And once we are all there together, we will never wish to return to any earlier chapter ever again. Father, May you write the story of Christ large upon our hearts. Write it so large that our hearts are full of hope in a King who is coming to receive us to himself, that our best days together are always ahead. Lord, may we rejoice that this life is but the cover and the title page, that the real story is coming, the one that goes on forever and ever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. Lord, write that upon the hearts of our graduates today and upon every heart through faith in King Jesus. We pray it in his name. Amen.